welcome to Intentional Inclusion with the Diversity Doctor, your weekly dose of diversity and inclusion content with me, your host, Dr. Donna Dehan. I want to help as many organisations as possible create people-centred businesses because I know that when your people thrive, so too does your bottom line. I'm here to help you move from professing an interest in D&I to implementing practices that will change the way you do business for the better. So, if you're looking to truly make an impact with your D&I efforts, you're in the right place, my friend. Every week, I will give you the perfect mix of theory and practice to help you create a business where everyone and your bottom line can thrive. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of Intentional Inclusion with me, the Diversity Doctor. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. This one is slightly different. It's the first time I'm doing this. I delivered a masterclass last week, and the energy and just the impact that I felt was incredible. And so I wanted to share that with more people. So what I have put into today's episode is the audio from the masterclass, minus the Q&A interactive session that we did at the end. This masterclass is all about how to create impact with your D&I program. And I really dived into the gap between expectation and time, and why I feel like closing the gap between those two variables is critical for us to create impact. Now, if you've been listening to me for a while now, you know that 2024 is my year of impact. I am on a mission, my friend, to help as many organizations as possible create impact with their D&I initiatives so that work is a place where people thrive, and that's not at the cost or trade-off of the bottom line of an organization thriving, because I absolutely believe that we can do both. In fact, I believe that creating a diverse and inclusive culture is critical for business success. And so that's what this year is about, trying to help as many individuals and organizations as possible just create places where we feel like we can thrive. So I'm not going to keep talking any longer, otherwise I'll make this whole podcast episode right now. I just wanted to give you a brief intro to the masterclass that you're going to listen to. If you like this and you feel like a masterclass is something you'd like to get involved in, they're absolutely free. I run them fairly regularly. I'll put a link in the show notes where you can join the Diversity Doctor community, and that's where you'll get all the information about courses and masterclasses and all the other great free stuff that I share. So enjoy, my friend. And reach out and leave a comment once you've listened to it. That would be great. Thank you so much. Enjoy. Let's dive in. Okay. So hello, everybody. Hi, my name is Dr. Donna Dehan, and my pronouns are she, her. I'm the founding director of The Diversity Doctor, and I'm going to be your host for this masterclass. So thank you so much for joining me. I do appreciate that some of you are here live with me today, but not everybody could make the session live. And so, full disclaimer, I am recording this so that you can watch it at different times. I want to be clear and transparent about that, because that's the foundation of D&I work, at least in the way that I do it. And I want you to feel absolutely comfortable. So we just spent some time with the live participants trying to figure out how to set this up. So if you'd like to leave a comment or pop on at any time, that's perfectly fine. But I just want you to know that it's being recorded so that you feel comfortable in how you want to participate in this session. I did promise, and I always deliver on my promises, that for those of you that turned up live today, there will be an additional bonus that I will send to you, and you will receive that in your inbox as soon as we finish this recording. There's also another bonus coming at the end of the masterclass, so please stay until the end, and then you'll get that information. In terms of being transparent, honest, and clear, which, as I said, I think is the foundation of strong D&I work, I am going to be talking about my program, which is now available, which I've designed specifically for D&I leaders like yourself. And that program is all about creating impact. So if you've been following me for a while, either within the Diversity Doctor community, you listen to my podcast, maybe you follow me on LinkedIn, my whole ambition and everything that I do, the reason that I do all these things is because I want to create impact in the space of D&I. Now, that's very selfish because I want to work in places where I feel valued and appreciated, heard and seen and safe. And I've worked in places where I didn't feel that way. So that's a personal thing for me. And I want to help the organizations I work with create those environments. It's also somewhat selfish because I have children and I want them to enter a workplace, wherever that might be, where they feel safe, valued, appreciated, seen, safe, and where my daughter will get paid the same as my son's for doing the same work. So there's a very personal agenda for me in wanting to create impact. And I'm doing this kind of work, like sharing these masterclasses for free with you, because I can't do this by myself. And I'm sure as D&I leaders yourself, this is also something that you want to create. So I'm all about sharing what I know, what's worked for me, so that you can take that knowledge and apply it to your organizations. I don't know where you're listening to right now, because I know where the live people are coming from, but if you're listening to this on a recording, I don't know where you are right now listening to this. For me, I'm in the Netherlands. It's gray and rainy right now. And I know that some of the content I'm going to be talking about, like fatigue and burnout, that combination of things can feel quite heavy. And I just want to put the emphasis out here that that's not the energy that we want in our D&I work. And it's not the energy I'm bringing to this masterclass, because we as D&I leaders are going to bring the light, the sunshine, the solutions to these problems. And that's all about my intention. With that in mind, whether you're on a live call right now, I would love you to drop in the comment section a word or an emoji that sums up that feeling, the energy that you want to give out and receive whenever you're doing D&I work. And if you're listening to this on the recording, just get a pen and paper and write it down. Be intentional about the energy that you want to share and receive when you work in a D&I. So we've got star emojis, we've got embrace. So love this. It's definitely the positive joy and possibility. Love that. Thank you so much. This is what we want. Now, the work that we do in D&I, like I said, it can feel heavy. It can feel heavy is the best word. I'm a qualitative researcher and I love words, but heavy is the word that I often feel when I'm dealing with some of the sort of, difficult topics that we deal with in D&I. And I say feelings because for me, that's so important. Yes, we can quantify diversity in terms of the number of different type of people we have within any given space, but that still feels a little bit performative, surface level for me. And I'm much more about impact in terms of feelings. So I can count the number of women sat around a leadership table, for example, but if those women don't feel heard and valued, there's no point in them being there, or at least they're not adding value to the organization. There's absolutely a point in them being there, but the point is that they're at the table because they have something to say and they need to be heard and listened to. So numbers are one thing, but as a qualitative researcher, for me, it's all about the feelings. Speaking of that, the sort of the feelings, today in this masterclass, I'm going to be talking about my experience as a D&I leader and also from a research perspective, the kind of things that I'm seeing happening at the moment in our space. That's what I want to share with you. And I would love to know if any of this resonates with you. So I believe that on a positive side, we've seen a huge increase in the number of D&I leaders being appointed, especially at the C-suite. So I do it slowly because I stumble over the words of C-suite quite often. So we see chief diversity officers being appointed to some of the big organizations. And I do think that's a positive, very visual, symbolic indication from an organization that we are taking this seriously. There is somebody at the top of the organization who is responsible for this subject. Now, the other side of that is D&I is not something that one person fixes for one other group of people. It's something that we all contribute to and we all benefit from. So yes, I think it's great that we've got leaders like yourself making a stance on this topic, but it's not something we can do as individuals. It's something we need everybody's collective contribution towards, and we all benefit from it. But we are seeing a more and more increase of CDOs, Chief Diversity Officers. It's the fastest recruiting appointment to the C-suite. However, it's also the quickest turnover in the C-suite. So I was quite shocked earlier this year when I found out that CDOs, or Chief Diversity Officers, their annual tenure is only 2 years, which means that their turnover is three times quicker than any other position on the C-suite. And we're seeing it in some of the big organizations, so Disney, Netflix, Nike. We're seeing like quite a churn in the number of turnover of individuals in this role. Why? The other thing that we see is an increase in sort of diversity and inclusion programs, initiatives, trainings within organizations. Again, that's great. So maybe your organization has done unconscious bias training. Maybe you lead it. Maybe you've set up an ERG, an employment resource group, in recent years. All of this is great. Again, there's movement, there's action, we're doing things. However, research is telling us that we're not having the impact within the organization that we want. So employees are still feeling disengaged. They're feeling not included. We're not having the impact, the desired outcome that we want. We're not seeing a change in diversity in leadership. So again, we're doing the things, but it's not having the impact that I would assume we're trying to achieve with this. Again, why? Worse still for me, so this kind of more of a recent shift that I'm seeing in the research out there, is not only are our efforts not necessarily landing how we want to, it's tipping the other way now. So we're starting to see, hear about research, find out about D&I fatigue within organizations. And this is when employees are getting tired of the narrative, the discourse about D&I, without feeling the change. So we're starting to see little like pushback in terms of, yeah, I don't necessarily want to come to another event. Yeah, that's great, but when's things actually going to change? Again, qualitative researcher, it's about the lived experience, it's about the feeling. I'd love to know in the comments if this resonates with you, if you're doing these things, if you are a leader, if you've seen people within your organization turn over. So feel free to comment as I'm talking. I would really appreciate that interaction. I asked why. Now, if you followed me for a while, you know that why is, I think, my favorite word. And as an external D&I consultant, I always tell future potential clients, I'm going to be the why in the room. That's my job. I think as a diversity and inclusion leader, it's our job to challenge and ask that why. Why are those people missing? Why are we doing this? So I've asked the question, why are CDOs churning and turning over quite quickly? Why are our initiatives and programs not resonating? I love the why question. It makes me think, and I think the solutions are in the answers to the why question. From my experience, I can see two variables in this kind of space of fatigue, turnover, lack of impact. And the two variables that I've identified are expectations and time. So let me give you some examples. A lot of the clients that I talk to approach me, we engage in a conversation because they are aware of the benefits of having a diverse and inclusive organization. I think that awareness piece is there for most organizations. We want more of something. We want different people. We want more representation. I feel like the work that we've done so far has got to that awareness piece. Maybe you want more students from underrepresented groups or different participants, different clients, different representation at senior leadership level. So I think the awareness, we want something different, is happening. But organizations, and by organizations, I mean the leaders, the stakeholders, the gatekeepers, don't want to do anything different to get there. So they're comfortable with the business case for having a diverse and inclusive organization. They feel comfortable and aware of that information. Organizations with diverse and inclusive cultures are more adaptable, innovative, increased bottom line, senior leadership with more females on there is more ethical, more compliant, all these kind of stuff. Like, we can throw that information out there. They want that, but they don't want to do anything different to get there. So when I start talking about, okay, so in order to get that different outcome, you need to do things differently, I get the pushback of, oh, yeah, but that feels risky. Oh, that's going to take a lot of investment. Oh, I'm not sure if we're ready for that yet. So this mismatch between I want something, I want the outcome, and I'd like it now. Oh, but I don't want to invest in the time. I don't want to necessarily do that now. Another example of that that I will see is we want more women in senior leadership. We're aware that we don't have enough women in senior leadership. That's something that we'd like. But we don't want to hire externally, so we want to promote internally. Okay, great. Do you know what your pipeline looks like? Have you quantified your pipeline? Do you know the time lag it's going to take to get women from this level of your organization to this level of the organization? Do you know how diverse your current pipeline is? Do you know how many diverse talents you leak at what point in your organization? So again, it's this, what's your succession planning? All those kind of things. So there is this, I want this outcome. I'd like it tomorrow because we know it's important and we're sort of feeling the pressure. Oh, but I haven't realized that that's going to take us 10 years because that's the time lag in our pipeline. And so if that is the case, we're going to have to do something different, right? So it's this gap between expectation and time. Now, if we know that that's one of the biggest issues, that's what's causing this kind of discomfort, lack of impact, then we need to close that gap. So those two variables, we need to close the gap between them, time, expectation. For me, the best way to do that is to be super clear on what it is we're trying to achieve, which is our expectation, right? We've got to get super clear on that. Super clear, I mean, SMART goals, like really clear. What is it you're trying to achieve and by when? Because then we're bringing in the time lag, this gap, and closing the gap between those two. What do you want to achieve? My why question is going to come in now as well. Why is that what you want to achieve? I want you to be able to answer that for me. And then how are we going to achieve that? And it seems quite simple when we lay it out like that. What is it you want to achieve? Why do you want to achieve that? How are you going to achieve that? That's going to close the gap between time and expectations. It's going to make sure that you choose the right initiatives and programs to achieve what you want to achieve. But I feel like we're so busy doing all of the things, setting up an ERG, doing the training, trying to recruit differently, putting on an event for International Women's Day, raising a flag because it's Pride Month, without stopping to consider why. Why are we doing this? If you raise a flag in June, if that's the month that you celebrate Pride, why are you doing that? If you're doing it to indicate to the world, to your employees, to your customers, to your clients, to your students, to your supporters, whatever it is, that your space is a safe space for individuals from the community of the LGBTQI plus community. That's one thing. But when you take down your flag and I step over your threshold into your organization, how safe and inclusive is it? Do you have all gender toilets? Do you share your pronouns with me in a meeting so that I feel I can tell you my identity without being misgendered? What are the other things that you're actually doing to make that happen? Now, inside the program, we talk about, I use the framework of awareness, action, accountability, and I use this with my one-to-one clients because your goals don't have to tick all of those boxes, but you have to know where you are in terms of that framework. Am I hosting an event for International Women's Day because I want individuals within my organization to be aware of a specific topic related to International Women's Day? If awareness raising, if I'm there to educate, inform, bring awareness to a topic, then doing a talk is the right thing to do, right? But if I want to change something, if I want to close the gender pay gap, which, please, let's work on that, just having a talk on International Women's Day is not going to achieve that. We have to take action. We've got to actually do something about that. And talking about the pay gap, how aware are you within your organization, for example, about the pay gap? And what are the steps that you're taking to close it? Awareness, action. Accountability would be, what's going to happen when we don't close it by this percent next year, the year after? How are we going to hold ourselves accountable? Who is accountable? Who are the stakeholders in this decision-making process? Again, inside the course, when I'm talking about impact, which I help you identify the stakeholders within your organization who are going to be able to help you leverage the impact from what you have. Because we all have different resources. We don't all have, lots of money for marketing campaigns or the ability to just do a brand new recruitment process or whatever. We've got to be very specific. What resources do we have? How can we use them to the best of our advantage to create the impact, to cause the sort of the outcome that we want? Okay, so that's the kind of process that I'm working with. You need to close the gap between expectation and time. And it could be the expectation of your fellow employees. I joined an ERG because I'm expecting X. You're leading the ERG, Employment Resource Group, because your intention is to do Y. We have to figure out, okay, well, there's a gap there. We're always looking to close the gap because the smaller the gap, the more impact that we're going to have. Awareness, action, accountability. I hope that this has made sense to you. It's short and sweet, but it really is about working with what we've got and being super clear on what we want to achieve and then making sure that we can achieve it. I'd love to know in the comments, and you can contact me after if you're listening to a live recording, what are your goals for this year? What is it that you want to achieve with your D&I initiatives? And we can start with a kind of magic wand, like big, hairy, audacious goals. If I could do anything tomorrow, this is what it would be. Because why not? Let's work towards those goals. But in the meantime, let's break it down into actionable steps that we can start chipping away at, because that's where your colleagues, your friends, your employees are going to start feeling the impact. Is we're going to have to start delivering and achieving some of the lower hanging fruit. Linda, thank you so much for saying awareness, action, and accountability. That's something that you're looking to work on. Really appreciate that. And it's about understanding your goals don't have to move through all of those. You can absolutely, and there is a need to say, okay, in terms of unconscious bias, I always start with awareness, right? People have to know what unconscious bias is. How do our unconscious biases play out in organizations? How do they impact people? Where do they come from? So there's a whole piece on awareness. In the unconscious bias training, I'm not going to go further than that in the first training session. But again, in terms of time and expectations, I'm not going to solve your unconscious biases in your organization with 1 hour of training when those unconscious biases have been there for decades and systemic biases that have been built up. I absolutely can eradicate unconscious biases within your organization, but we have to have a clear plan, a clear goal. I personally would start with awareness, but I don't end there, because I think that's where a lot of unconscious bias training fails, is because people are, oh, well, I'm aware of it. It's not my fault. This is, you know, society. This is my education. This is my background. They're everywhere. There's nothing I can do about it. No, because that's leading you not into the accountability. We are all accountable as individuals for our own unconscious biases. And there are absolutely actionable steps we can take in between to change how we see the world and to be accountable for ourselves. So I'm just throwing lots of different examples here at you. In the course, I give you everything that you need, all the building blocks to be able to understand your why for D&I, your bigger organization why for D&I, and the why behind what it is that you want to achieve, help you identify your goals so that you can have clear, smart goals. I give you a whole load of resources that you can choose from, initiatives, so that you can match your goals and the right initiative. Again, to take you between this alignment of, am I looking for awareness? Am I looking for action? Where's the accountability step? So everything that you need is in the course to help you build your roadmap from where you are right now. And everybody can be in a different place, but the idea is that you are where you are now. You get super clear on where you want to get to, and then we build a roadmap to get you there. So it's super easy to take these step-by-step actionable steps to get you to where you want to get to. Full transparency, the course is currently available for €375. You get a lifetime access to that course. And like I said, everything that you need is within the course right now. And it's the building blocks for what you need to take between A, B, C, D, E, wherever you want to get to. And if you sign up now, I'm just opening up the comments as I'm talking. If you sign up now, you get a fast action bonus, which gives you access to me for 2 1-hour sessions, one-to-one coaching sessions that you can take at any time, either at the start of the program or at the end of the program, so that I can help you really fine tune your strategy, your roadmap, in whatever timeline you're looking at, and I can guarantee you will create the impact that you're looking for. I'll send you all the information you need at the end of the course. I'm now just going to look over at some of the comments so that we can get that. And if you want to pop on with your video and ask questions live, please feel free to do so. I will stop recording now, and then we can have a safe space for those of us who are live to sort of talk about these questions a little bit more. I'm just going to say thank you for listening. To anybody who's listening on the recording, I will be sending you some emails with some follow-up information. I'm going to stay with the live people right now. Thank you so much for listening. If you found this episode useful, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please share with someone who you think may benefit from the content discussed today. Remember, there's always useful links included in the show notes that will take you directly to additional relevant value-packed resources. So please take a moment to check them out. That's it for this week. Again, thank you for being intentionally inclusive. Until next week, my friend.